You're listening to Around Noon on 90.3. I'm Dee Perry, and this is the show for Tuesday, December 22nd. Today we find out what's in the cards for Mr. Lucky, who's also known as singer, songwriter, and guitarist Chris Isaak. Listen for music from Isaac's new CD and details on his appearance next week at Cleveland's House of Blues. Plus, we give you a chance to immerse yourself in the H2O exhibit at Great Lakes Science Center. But first, celebrating 75 years of great reading. For three quarters of a century, the Annisfield Wolf Book Awards have celebrated authors and books that spotlight not only the injustice of racism, but more importantly, the beauty of diversity. The awards are given each year here in Cleveland, and to celebrate the 75th anniversary next year, the Cuyahoga County Public Library is putting together a book club highlighting a winning author each month. Joining me now is one of our regular irregular guests, Sari Feldman, Executive Director of the Cuyahoga County Public Library. Sari, welcome back.
Thanks. Thanks for having me today.
Well, you are a strong advocate for the Annisfield Wolf Book Awards. Talk about your passion for this prize that's based here in Cleveland, but has an international profile.
Well, I am passionate about it, and I think it's one of those great Cleveland stories. Edith Annisfield Wolf was a philanthropist and poet who lived here in Cleveland, and she was on the Cleveland Public Library Board, so she also has a library link. And I think not enough people know about this award and know about the recognition that it gives to some of the most important authors and their works.
The favorite books from past winners are going to be part of this series, and there are so many, as you alluded to, and such a wide range. I'm wondering about the task of saying, yes, we'll talk about that. How did you decide?
Well, a group of very smart and well-read librarians at the Cuyahoga County Public Library put together the book club list, and we're going to do an Annisfield Wolf book from January through August at our online book club so that anybody can join in. Bay Village Branch, Beechwood Branch, and Parma Heights Branch will do a book a month, and then some branches will intersperse that in their regular book discussion groups.
And all different books or reading from the same list?
We're going to mix it up a little bit, but there's some consistency across the group of book clubs we'll be offering.
The discussions about doing this, were they initiated by Annisfield Wolf, by the library, by some magic coming together in some third place?
Well, Cuyahoga County Public Library has been working very closely with the Cleveland Foundation and Mary Louise Hahn, who's been the leader of the Annisfield Wolf Book Awards for a number of years, to say, what else can we do? How do we get the word out? And so as we approached the 75th anniversary, we said, wow, this is a great opportunity to make the Cleveland story a little bit bigger, a little bit more renowned.
Speaking of stories, do you have an Annisfield Wolf story? I mean, the authors come into town once a year to be here for the awards. I'm wondering if there's some connection with the library there.
Yes. In 1998, it was my first year working at the Cleveland Public Library. And in those days, the awards ceremony was small enough that it could be held there. And Gordon Parks was given a Lifetime Achievement Award. And Marilyn Mason, the then director, asked me to host Mr. Parks. So I was able to spend the evening with him. And when he went up to the stage to receive his award and give his talk, I'm convinced I didn't breathe through the entire talk. It was so memorable, and I thought, this is an important evening, and this is the most important book award. And I have kept that belief since 1998.
Wow. And I've had some of those experiences, too, both in the studio with authors who've come through town to talk about their works for the ceremony, but at the ceremonies themselves and sitting in them at times, I would look around and think,
everybody needs to be hearing this, because there are just some wonderful stories and some fascinating writing in those books.
This year, when Paul Marshall was given the Lifetime Achievement Award, and she talked about her relationship with Langston Hughes and how he gave her encouragement and fostered her career, I thought, you know, that's a story that should be written down and be part of the Langston Hughes lore for all Americans.
I am sitting here with Sari Feldman, Executive Director of the Cuyahoga County Public Library. Starting next month, the County Library begins a new book club celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Annisfield Wolf Book Awards. And Sari, I'm wondering about what you'll be sharing besides Annisfield Wolf in the days and months to come. The book club with Annisfield Wolf is one thing, but isn't there always something like that going on with the library?
Yes, absolutely. We are still promoting Reconnect with Reading as one of our major priorities at the library. And so we have many book clubs that are represent other books. We have book clubs for children, book clubs that cross generations. But I think this year, the attention to Annisfield Wolf books and the themes of those books, the themes of diversity, race relations, celebrating our cultural differences, are more important than they've ever been.
In just a little bit, we're going to hear from one of the authors chosen. As a matter of fact, the first author chosen, Louise Erdrich. Can you give us an overview of who else will be featured in the discussions that are coming up?
Absolutely. We'll be featuring Pat Conroy. He won a number of years ago. I believe Pat Conroy won the award in possibly in the 1973 for his book, The Water is Wide. And it's a book that's not that well known, about his own teaching experience. So we'll be doing that classic Annisfield Wolf Book Award winner, and then also South of Broad, his newest book. Toni Morrison for Beloved, a 1988 winner. Edridge Dandicott, Brother, I'm Dying, 2005. So we're crossing fiction and nonfiction and authors that are well-known. Wallace Stegner, an author who maybe people aren't reading anymore, but he was a 1946 winner. Uh-huh. So we're crossing all spectrums of the award.
Oh, excellent. Now, what are you reading these days besides Annisfield Wolf Book Award books?
Well, I have to say that I just finished the third in a series, The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest. It's the third book by Stieg Larsson in his trilogy that started with The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. It's a Swedish kind of suspense and international thriller. And the third one won't be out in the United States until next year. But I was in Hong Kong this year was able to pick it up. So that was really exciting. And I'm piling up my books for my vacation reading.
Around this time of year, or
yes, I'll be piling on the books now. I don't want to talk. I'm going to come back and visit with you and talk about my favorite books of 2009. Okay. But I will mention that I hope the Annisfield Wolf Book Committee is looking at Little Bee by Chris Cleave. It's a story of a Nigerian immigrant to England, and it's really the story of Nigerian politics and terror that kind of the lives of the characters unfold through the story. It was one of my favorite books this year, and it would be a great choice for the selection committee.
So he'll put a B in their ear.
Right, exactly.
Meanwhile, another note, East Cleveland Library was in the news yesterday for financial problems, and there was a quote from you in support of just libraries everywhere, and I'm curious if there's anything else you want to add to that conversation.
Sure. I can't speak to the current situation in East Cleveland, but the East Cleveland Public Library Board of Trustees had approach the Cuyahoga County Public Library Board of Trustees to talk about the long-term sustainability of East Cleveland Library. And actually, we are in the process of doing a feasibility study to see about all aspects of a possible merger of the East Cleveland Public Library into Cuyahoga County. And certainly the financial piece will be a big part of the analysis, but also services, programming, outreach to the community. There'll be many aspects, and we're very fortunate to have the Baldwin-Wallace Research Institute doing the work for us. A big piece is our concern for the taxpayers of our library system to make sure that we're protecting the assets that we have. There are also many assets that East Cleveland would bring to the table, and we believe in equity of library service to all residents of Cuyahoga County. Yeah. So we wish them well, and we look forward to the conclusions of the feasibility study.
And I was thinking, as I was thinking about their situation, but libraries in general, having lost big chunks of money this year, there was a time when, as a kid, I assumed that the fines that I paid for late books is what kept the libraries going. But it's really about those tax dollars and real estate taxes in particular, or just the tax base from people in this county?
Well, there's the state funding that comes from the General Revenue Fund. And, of course, as taxes have collections are down, so the payment to libraries are down as well, and the libraries did get a small cut of about 11% from the legislature this year. But, you know, in the big scheme of things, it hit us hard, but we have been able to cope with it. I think in a smaller independent library like East Cleveland, that's very impactful. Mm-hmm. Then the rest of the money for libraries in Cuyahoga County comes from local property tax, and we all operate at different millages. And I think, again, in East Cleveland, where the property tax collections are down, it's very hard for them to make up the difference.
Yeah, but Cuyahoga County Public Library is moving forward.
Yes, we are. And because we are, you know, a large institution, we have been able to use, we have made cuts, but we have also been able to put efficiencies in place and economies scale. So yeah, it's different for us.
Well, getting back to the book club,
sure.
You mentioned the online discussion that supports the in-library happenings. What are your hopes for this program in the new year, both partnering with Annisfield Wolf and looking at it as perhaps a continuing kind of thing?
Well, I hope it will be a continuing project for us, because when I was looking back and thinking about the award-winning books that I've loved and the award-winning authors that I was introduced to through the ceremony, I thought, gosh, you'd be an incredibly well-read person if the only books you read were by Annisfield Wolf Book Award winners. So I think it's a reminder, you know, just looking back at some of the classic authors that won, Zora Neale Hurston, Alan Paton, Langston Hughes, Claude Brown, we forget about these authors, and it's a way of re-energizing the classic literature that's available to us.
Yeah, you just reminded me that I haven't done that, so
yeah.
Thank you. I'll go back before I go forward again.
Right.
Sari, it's always a pleasure chatting with you, and look
you.
Forward to our book discussion coming
right.
up.
Right, I'll have a lot to say.
Good. Sari Feldman has been my guest. She is the executive director of the Cuyahoga County Public Library, and next month begins the library's new book club celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Annisfield Wolf Book Award. In just a little bit, we hear from the author of the first book chosen, Louise Erdrich. The book is The Plague of Doves. Meanwhile, for more on the Cuyahoga County Public Library, log on to our homepage today, online at WCPN.org, where you can hear the show on demand and comment on what you hear. Coming up, Annisfield Wolf Book Award fiction winner Louise Erdrich, plus rock and roll crooner Chris Isaak getting lucky at the House of Blues, and listen for a chance to get wet at the Great Lakes Science Center's water exhibition, all as you stay tuned to Around Noon here on 90.3. The stories of Louise Erdrich are stories of the Dakotas, where love is a treasured yet mysterious thing. Her tales tell of passionate love, family love, and love of nation, the Native American nation. Earlier this year, Louise Erdrich took her place as one of two fiction winners for this year's Annisfield Wolf Book Awards. The award is given each year here in Cleveland to writers who exemplify not only an understanding of the injustice of racism, but possibly more importantly, the beauty of diversity. In her books like Love Medicine, Tracks, and now The Plague of Doves, Erdrich spans the lives of Native American families and their relationships with those on and off the reservation. The Plague of Doves is the first book chosen for the Cuyahoga County's new book club celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Annisfield Wolf Book Awards. Back in September, I spoke with Louise Erdrich about her book, The Plague of Doves, but I began by asking her about her day job, running her own independent bookstore in Minnesota.
I do. It's called Birch Bark Books, and I started it with my daughters, and we started it because we'd seen small bookstores going under all over, and we loved them so much. So we wanted to start something. We had no idea how to do it. We wanted to have a bookstore cat. That was our... We never did get a cat. We ended up with a parakeet. But we began to put this bookstore together, and then people began to come as though drawn by the gravity of what we were doing, the love of books, the love of eccentricity. You know, book people are so independent and eccentric and wonderful.
And so is that the kind of book that your store specializes in, the eccentric, the offbeat?
Not exactly. We really look for what our customers want, and we have a wonderful array. We center our bookstore, however, on Native American books, so that you go online to our bookstore site at Birch Bark Books, and you would find that we really have the best we can find in contemporary Native fiction, history, literature, and that's where our concentration lies. But we're a general bookstore as well.
And I would imagine your own books would be on the shelves prominently, just because that is your area of expertise in terms of what you've written about.
Well, I signed them, so that kind of gives us an edge.
There you go. What are some of the books that you read early on that made a real impact on you, that maybe made you think, yes, this is something I want to do?
Well, you know, I was looking through the past winners of the Annisfield Wolf Book Award, and I came across Vine Deloria Jr. And his books, God Is Red, all of his other work, really, Custer Died for Your Sins, those books were formative for me. So I was thrilled to be within this longstanding company.
And you yourself come from both Native American and European heritage. Tell us something about your family background and how it's come to impact your writing.
My father is German-American, and my mother is Chippewa, Ojibwe, or Anishinaabe. Those are all words for the same group of people. So I belong to the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa, and my background is Pembina Band. And I guess you'd say I have memories of my grandfather, and I try to keep learning the language he spoke, which is Ojibwe or Anishinaabe Mohin. And I speak with my daughters at home. Okay. You know, it's an ongoing life. It's very cultural, you know, that the way that anyone participates in their culture. We go to powwows, or we just sit home and do whatever anybody does. You know, it's not as though people live in that much differently.
Yeah,
but we have a different cultural identity, I suppose, that's mixed with German and with Chippewa.
But it's good that you're maintaining those ties, as opposed to sort of just saying, well, that was the past.
Well, I think because my mother has such a strong identity, and I was raised with her influence, and of course she's still a great influence on us, that my brothers and sisters, as well as I, have a strong tie to our community. I was educated partly because of my background. I went to Dartmouth College partly because of my background. So that this tie has shaped my life, really.
And as we mentioned, your writing, your early books like Love Medicine and Tracks focus on Native American families such as the Nanapush and Kashpaw clans. I want to have you talk about creating those fictional family trees and the reservation where their stories unfold.
Well, I wanted to make a universe that people who were of any Native background could identify with. But it also is within its own tribal nation, a universe, because there's many, many different branches of Ojibwe, Chippewa, Anishinaabe, so that this reservation is a sort of fictionalized version of an Ojibwe reservation. But what I see now is what I see is happening now is so fascinating and wonderful to me, because we're suddenly seeing the fruits of so many writers beginning to write out of their own tribal nations, their own national origins, really, so that we have Sherman Alexie and Linda Hogan and so many other Native American writers coming out with wonderful books.
Many of your books are set in North Dakota, and I wanted to sort of explore your connection to that part of the country.
I grew up in North Dakota, and I live not too far from North Dakota. I live about 3 hours from the border. And I have to get back there every so often. I have family there still. I suppose that if I hadn't happened to have my daughters in the bookstore and everybody fall in love with Minneapolis, I would have gone back to North Dakota. I love the plains.
And you set your latest novel, The Plague of Doves, in North Dakota as well. It centers on Evelina Harp and her beloved grandfather, Mushum. Tell us about those two.
Mushum is based on a number of elders who I've loved and who have cared about me over the years, people with senses of humor and kindness, and this old form of generosity that I think it's wonderful to pass down to children. And it's very particular to our elders, I think, in many of our communities. But to me, the sense that Mushum has of his own history is a wonderful thing. He's always expounding on what would have happened and what, you know, how things would be different, and involving his children and his grandchildren in stories of his youth. And they're not always, sometimes he's making them up, but they're listening to stories about Mustache Maud, for instance, which she really was a character in North Dakota history. She was a wrestler, Mustache Maud. So I brought her into the book, too.
Would you share a passage from the book with us?
I will, and I'd like to dedicate this little passage to so many parents who are bringing their children to college for the first time. It's quite an experience, and in this book I remember back to how it was for me. In the fall of 1972, my parents drove me to college. Everything I needed was packed in a brand new royal blue aluminum trunk. We carried the trunk up two flights of stairs, and dread invaded me. In spite of my determination to go, for instance, as far as Paris, I had actually dreaded leaving home, even to go as far as the University of North Dakota in Grand Forks. And in the end, my parents didn't want me to go either, but I had to go, and here I was. We walked back down the stairs. I was too miserable to cry, and I do not remember our final embraces, But I watched my mother and father as they stood beside the car. They waved to me, and that moment is a clear, still picture. My father, so thin and athletic, looked almost frail with shock, while my mother, whose beauty was still remarkable and who was known on the reservation for her silence and reserve, had left off her characteristic gravity. Her face and my father's face were naked with love. It wasn't something that we talked about, love, and I was terrified of its expression from the lips of my parents. But they allowed me this one clear look at it. Their love blazed from them. And then they left. I think now that everything that was concentrated in that one look, their care in raising me, their patient lessons in every subject they knew to teach, their wincing efforts to give me freedoms, their example of fortitude and work, allowed me to survive myself.
That's beautiful. And those are the words of Louise Erdrich, 2009 fiction winner for the Annisfield Wolf Book Award, reading from her acclaimed novel, The Plague of Doves. And as we mentioned earlier, Louise, this award is given to writers who celebrate diversity and unveil the evils of racism. What does it mean to you to get this award tonight?
This award is an enormous honor for me. I knew of it, and I knew of it as a very prestigious award that was I always thought of the other people who received it as having done something very important, especially in our country, where we really strive so hard in our national ideal to become unified and yet celebrate the mosaic of who we are. So I think this award is a particularly American award, and I'm so thrilled to be here because of it.
And we are thrilled to have you. Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
2009 Annisfield Wolf Book Award winner for fiction, Louise Erdrich, speaking with me about her prize-winning novel, The Plague of Doves. Her book is the January selection for the Cuyahoga County Public Library's Book Club, celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Annisfield Wolf Book Awards. For more about the book club and Louise Erdrich, log on to our homepage today, online at wcpn.org, where you can listen to the show on demand and comment on what you hear.